Thank you.
I actually grew up in Sydney, and it was interesting to come back. I had a friend take me around last night to various different places to view Vivid Sydney, or is it Sydney Vivid? I'm not sure what. And it was terrific just to sort of be out there, sort of looking out across the harbour to all the various things that were happening. And I was reminded of a Learning cartoon, which I have twice bought as a T-shirt, which has a father with his arm around his son, and they're both looking at television, and on the television there's a sunset. Behind them there's a window, and through the window the sun is actually setting. Human beings have to adapt to changing conditions. And one of the great changes that we're having to adapt to at the moment is the introduction of media. And can I say, as yet, we haven't quite got our adaptation right. We're still a little bit in a situation like when fire was introduced, we're just leaving our kids with the matches and seeing what they make of it. Now, I'm here today to talk about some practical strategies to make sure children's media consumption, and I don't particularly like the word consumption, but I'll live with it, is healthy. What was not mentioned was that I've actually been a consultant on children's television for all the networks. So I'm not actually anti-television. But I think we need to be looking about how we expose children to media, particularly as the media world keeps changing so rapidly. Health is always a matter of balance. You are what you eat. And for a long time, I was eating an awful lot of pies and soft drinks and chips and things like that, and I became rather shaped like a pie until my doctor said to me, type 2 diabetes. And all of a sudden, I had to change. Nowadays, if I put on the trousers that I used to wear just before that diagnosis, they simply fall around my ankles because I had to come down from a 42-inch girth to a 34-inch girth. I was overbalanced in my diet and I needed to correct it. We need to realise that there are potential positives for well-being in a media-rich environment. We shouldn't be working on the basis that the media is necessarily a bad thing. We shouldn't ignore the things that kids gain from being exposed to media. But against that, there are also identifiable risks to well-being that are involved in being in a media-rich environment. And we shouldn't downplay those risks either. We've got to have a balanced view. A match will light your fire to cook your food. It will also burn your house down. Okay? We need to balance the positives with the negatives. So how do we strike that balance? Well, at one end, we find some people who are in a state of hysteria about media, what you'll sometimes hear referred to as moral panic. We'll all be ruined because our children all have mobile phones. It's the end of the world. At the other end, there are people who say, oh, our children are media natives. We don't have to worry about it. They know more about media than us. That's what I call moral desertion. Because our children do know more about us, about how you turn the switches on, my 4-year-old granddaughter stole my electronic camera, and I thought, that's cute. You know, she can play with the case. She can't actually break it. 20 minutes later, she came back with 25 photographs she'd taken of members of the family, and she'd also found out how to do the effects things on the camera. But that doesn't mean they have the moral ability to make good choices about their use of media. What we need to develop in our own approach to media with children is judicious discernment. That is, we need to be able to tell the wheat from the chaff. When I first started to work in the area of media, which was a long, long time ago, in fact, some of you weren't born, I used to, with parents, do a whole lot of stuff which I now consider tricks. Things like, you know, limit the amount of hours that your children spend. Make it a reward for doing chores, that sort of thing. There's nothing wrong with those things, but they are basically tricks. And essentially, that doesn't get to the nub of the problem, because the essential problem that we're looking at with the media-rich world we live in is the question of the values that we want our kids to hold in the society we live in. So the central issue related to healthy media and how that relates to well-being, the central issues are all around values. How do you live well? We're talking about that in the previous address. You know, how do you actually live well? How is the right way to relate to other people? How are you to understand your own worth as a person? And that means, as a strategy, we need to be interacting with media-exposed children by ensuring that our explicit values, that's the ones we talk about, what we say. Our implicit values, they're the values we show by the way we act. And our complicit values, they're the ones that we demonstrate by what we allow, move them to positive rather than negative outcomes. Let me give an example. I'm supervising a doctoral student who's been studying children at primary school discos between the ages of 6 and 10 to look at what they're wearing, how they're dancing, how they relate to people from the other gender in that context. And one of the things that she found was that around about a quarter of the girls were turning up in highly sexualized clothes. Okay? Parents had made the choice to buy those clothes for the children. In other words, they were permitting, they were complicit. One of the very strong things that comes through the media world that children are exposed to is the value of friendship. The idea that friends support and care for each other, and it's important to have friends, and it's important to treat your friends right, and that friends will stand by you when you're in trouble. Now, that's worth affirming with children. It's worth finding programs that affirm that and encouraging them to watch. There's a lot of attention to ecological awareness. A lot of the programming is saying the world is a place of wonder and it's a place to be cherished. And children are gaining that from the media, which is why they're far better than a lot of adults in terms of their attitudes to ecology. Teamwork is a major emphasis in the media that children are exposed to, that you can do things working together that you could never accomplish just working by yourself. Courage. Confront threats and things you fear. Don't run away. Don't let them take your life over, but actually stand up to them. All those things are things it's really worthwhile allowing children to be exposed to and affirming. So, for instance, one of the things I do with my granddaughters, of course my kids are now adults, is get them to watch Jane and the Dragon. Who knows Jane and the Dragon? Oh, terrific. That is brilliant. What other program will there be discussions on why humans go and shut themselves in a little room to poo, while dragons just poo down the castle walls, loud and proud, as the saying is. That's an awful lot of really good values in that. You've just got to look for them. So we should interact with children, reinforce the values that we really want to see them develop. But there are also negative media values as they relate to children's well-being. For example, materialism. One of the constant ongoing messages through the advertising they see, through the sort of representations in programs they watch and videos they see, is that you are what you have. And what if you don't have it? It relates back to the earlier address about beauty pageants. It's fine if you're the winner, if you have the beauty, but what if you don't? It's fine if you've got the latest Nike whatever is ticked this week, but what if you can't afford it? Self-worth is measured by how you appear. You don't see that many ugly fat people on television, in videos. You do in games, but they're usually not Anglo-Saxon and they're the people who get killed. Your worth is valued by your appearance. And what if you don't shape up? Violence is a socially approved activity and a reasonable response to frustration. But what you're never shown is the consequences of the violence. You can go and play tour of duty and call to arms and blow away hundreds of people. But do they ever talk to you on the media, in children's programs, in particular in games, about the number of soldiers who've been through Iraq and Afghanistan who come home and then take up a gun and shoot someone else or themselves? Do they ever talk about the negative consequences of involvement in violence? Sexualization. Relationships, we've had some talk about this earlier. Relationships are about physical, romantic transactions between people. And at ever younger ages. But what if you're not ready yet? Or you don't want to? But the expectation amongst your peer groups is created by the media that you really ought to be. And this was the rather concerning thing that my student was finding, that a lot of the kids' understandings of how they should relate to each other, boys to girls, girls to boys, were around sexual posturing and sexual language. So we should be interacting with children to counteract, these positive values. Like Eddie, I occasionally have a slip of the pen. That should be negative values, obviously. So some practical strategies. Let's start with our explicit values. The things we say to kids. We need to, first of all, work out what our own media-related values are, which will foster well-being. Now, I can't come here and say this is what you ought to be telling your kids in terms of values because we're not a monoculture. You're not all going to agree with my sets of values. I had a very forceful argument with one of my best friends this morning over a question of racism, where I thought Adam Good's behaviour was brilliant over the last weekend when he was abused by that 13-year-old girl. And he thought he demeaned himself in the sight of the community by picking on someone smaller than himself. All right, all I'm saying is we have different sets of values. So I'm not going to tell you what you've got to think in terms of this, but you need to work them out for yourself. What do you think about materialism? What do you think about violence? What do you believe about sexuality? What do you believe about the importance of appearance? I worked with one young woman in television who could not let herself be seen without makeup. My wife, who was senior writer for the program she was in, actually wrote a thing for the children where this girl had to strip her makeup off to go back to being in plain face. She got to the final level and the girl just simply said, no. She couldn't bear to be seen, you know? What do you think about things like that? And we need to be developing ways of explaining our values to our kids. Let them see why it is that we feel the way we do about violence or about sexuality or about possessions or whatever it happens to be. And we need to be prepared to express those issues explicitly with kids, whether we're their parents, whether we're their teachers, or whether we're in some sort of therapeutic relationship with them. It's important that we're able to articulate the values, not to tell them, not to lecture them on what they ought to be doing, but to simply saying, this is what I think about this. What do you think? And entering into a dialogue about it. And that will require that we become informed and make choices. I threw up a few programs that I'm in early childhood, so you may notice a weighting towards really little kids. But Teletubbies, brilliant program. So is Boo Bars, the one down in the bottom right. And My Place, Australian, just tremendous. Again, Jane and the Dragon. Takes a bit of searching out to find really good programs that make good value statements to kids. But also that we establish a regular talking relationship with children about the values in media. And that will include co-viewing and co-playing where possible. Don't make promises to kids. When my son was around about 12, he started to play Dungeons and Dragons and he wanted me to play with him. It was a time where, because of my work, I didn't have time to go in. Dungeons and Dragons is mind taking over. And I didn't have space for that in my mind. I said to him, it's all right, when I retire, I'll play Dungeons and Dragons with you. Well, that was 30 years ago. I retired 4 months ago, and immediately I got this phone call from my son saying, oh, look, there's a group of blokes coming around to your place on Friday. For the first time, you can just sit in and watch, but I've already got some characters I think you should play. And so I'm now having to play. Don't promise things to your kids. You might be held to them. Tell children what we think about different values issues. Don't be intimidated by the fact that they are on media. Or the particular content that's involved. We do know more about kids, about what's important in life. And they need to learn from us by hearing us articulate that. But we also need to be working through our implicit or enacted values, what we live out. So we need to ensure our behaviour is consistent with the values we express, because we're all prone to double standards. And to help children see that the two are related, it's no use telling your kids that you really don't think violence is really nice or anything like that. If they then go and see you watching Arnold Schwarzenegger beat up a whole lot of people. All right? So we need to think about our own behaviour, because we need to be able to walk the walk and we need to be what we want our children to become. Because our children will end up becoming like us. And that will require that we choose our own viewing be consistent with the values that we express to children and avoid entertaining ourselves with material which contradicts what we say is important. So I just threw together a few examples of things I have chosen not to watch. The little green one down there, that's out of Evil Dead. The first research I did in this area was on children's access to commercial videos. How long ago it was, commercial videos were just coming onto the scene at that stage. 1,500 kids, around about 30% of them had watched that video. It's called Evil Dead. 30% of them reported scenes from that as either scenes they could not forget or scenes they enjoyed so much they liked to remember. And the one that came up quite consistently was a scene where a woman is raped by a tree. These were 10-year-olds. Right? And it'll also mean that we express our values through what we do, because children will imitate what they see. They'll notice whether our behaviour is consistent with our expressed values. What we do counts far more than what we say. But also, we need to be looking at our complicit values. That is what we allow for our kids. Because to allow something is to accept that it's all right. If you allow your kids to dress in sexy clothes, to give a description that my student came up with, crop top, short skirt, fuck me now boots. That, by the way, is a technical phrase. They're those high... I noticed a number of you wearing them earlier, actually. Those high leather boots. We agree with what we accept. To hit our children suggests that there are times that we agree that violence is a good thing. We need to also advocate the values we hold to other people. We're actually in a society, a community that's wrestling with this, trying to adapt to it. And there are powerful forces for values that I think most of us would find fairly difficult. We need our voices to be heard. And that means supporting others whose values we share, particularly community advocates like many of the speakers at this seminar, people who have as their first aim the welfare of kids, not what they can make out of kids. I like to tell my advertiser friends that the very first law code, which was the law code of Hammurabi around about 5000 BC, in that law code, it was a capital offence to sell or buy from a child. Wouldn't you like that? Every advertiser who tries to sell something to a child finds himself facing the death penalty. Oh, that's nice. I'm not serious about that, by the way. And that will require that we're prepared to take responsibility for children's values and behaviours. Not just leave it to them, but to actually act. And that means establishing early who's the adult and who's the child. One of the things we wrestle with in our culture, and you'll find quite a bit of literature on this, is the reversal of roles between parent and children, where the parents are acting more like the children and the children are having to take the role of being the responsible person. We need to be consistent in exercising appropriate authority so children know what our expectations are and how they should respond. It means saying no. And it means that the very common American no-no is a no-no. Because no-no means there are some no's that are actually yes. All right? No has to mean no, and we have to be prepared to say no to watching media, wearing clothes, behaving in ways, speaking in ways of which we disapprove. If girls are allowed to watch performances by Lady Gaga or Keisha or any of their ilk, we can expect them to want to dress and act like them. We don't have to allow it. If boys are allowed to watch and play violent material, we can expect them to want to imitate the aggressive language and behaviour. We don't have to allow it. let me just indicate one of the saddest little watching experiences of mine. I was watching the morning program. David Kosh is such a brilliant performer, but actually that wasn't the reason I was watching. It was because there was a particular performer on, and I'm just having one of those blackouts, her name's gone. But she was wearing a really skin tight, yellow leather dress, which sort of came down to about there. And they'd specially arranged it for the morning program, her performance. And they'd arranged her an audience. And there was this whole pack of about 30 or 40 11 and 12-year-old girls standing around the stage. And that was sad enough. But then the camera panned back and all their parents were standing in the background. They were allowing their children to be exposed to what was a quite specifically and deliberately highly sexualized performance. And so what do you expect of the kids? Oh, it must be all right. Mum said I could come and watch it. And again, it will mean that we advocate the values we hold to others. We chat to our family and friends. We raise the issue with professional colleagues and provide them with resources, which will mean getting hold of some. I'll talk about that in a second. We ring, we write to media outlets to express praise or criticism for what they're doing. As I said, my wife used to write for television. I remember dropping her off at the station one day to watch a screening. The cast and the crew came running out and threw their arms around her and hugged her. That actually had more letters of congratulations for one of her programs than they'd ever had in... It was Humphrey Bear, so it had been going for decades. They'd got three letters. All right? You can have an enormous effect if you're prepared to write. Contact local members. They don't think people care about media. Write to the ministers. They really don't think we care about media, and they need to be told that it's a matter of real concern for our community. We also need to use the social media, letters to the editor, etc., to have our voice heard about these matters. So I want to leave you with a final challenge. You don't have to do this, but you might want to think about it. From tomorrow, I will ensure I'm familiar with what children are exposed to. That's not going to be a pleasant experience, but it's a necessary part of parenting. We would tend to look at the books our kids are exposed to. We tend to make sure we knew what foods they're eating. We need to know what media our children are accessing. So we need to watch and or play examples. We also need to use publicly available resources. For example, the ABC runs a brilliant program called Good Game, and then a children's version of it called Good Game Spawn Point, where they actually just review games. Great way of finding out what's going on in the games that kids are being exposed to. The Australian Council on Children and the Media, of which I'm vice president, runs a film. It's not quite a review service, but a service whereby we identify the value of particular films for kids. So here's some examples. First position, not recommended under 8. Parental guidance to 10 due to some disturbing themes. So I'll give you the reasons and some guidelines as to what ages kids should be watching this. I occasionally go to previews, and I'm horrified going to some of the previews and seeing the kids that are being brought in to M-rated previews because, well, they're cartoons, aren't they? Or their adventure. So that must just be all right. And watching all the kids within a few minutes with their heads down in the seats or being taken out to the toilet. And as required, I'll identify how consistent my own values is with what media that children are using or want to use. Sorry, let me take that again. I don't think that makes sense. I'm going to try and work out whether I actually agree with what my kids or the kids I'm relating to are being taught by the media that they're being exposed to, and develop a strategy for engaging with them around the values involved in that. I'm going to actually do some hard thinking about that. And if you can, play a role in the effort to provide children with a healthy media environment through your own personal advocacy. Just talk to someone, one person. You know, say, oh, I've got this terrific program, this terrific app that your kids would really love. Or, hey, have you seen some of the research on such and such? Maybe not be a great idea to have kids watching that sort of stuff. But also provide some support for community advocates. The Australian Council on Children and the Media is a very active advocate, both with the industry, with the regulators, getting the research in and trying to promulgate it back out. I've left some brochures just outside the door where you've been signing onto your sheets, etc. I've noticed that almost all the ones on sexualisation are gone, which may say something about the audience. But there are also others there. Another group is Kids Free to Be Kids. And that's it. Thank you very much.